So when I saw that I was on the preaching roster this morning, I immediately sought after God. And I know I've been preaching up at the Durham Valley, and that's cool because there's about 12 people to 25 people, which is nice. And I sought after God, and God said to me in my spirit, I heard him say to me, "Grant, you're a tent." And I'm like, I don't know what that means. What does it mean, I'm a tent? See, I come from a background in my life where I'm from the coaching and communication industry. I've been a speaker on stage for a long time in self-development, personal development, and all those sort of things. And there's a sort of a hang-up in that industry where you try and make yourself big. You know, you've got to make yourself sort of shiny, like your nothing smells in your life. And I'm trying to clean that up in my mind as I'm sharing that with you right now. And God just revealed to me, he said, you're a tent. So I went back home and did what every sensible, young, mature Christian will do. And I Googled that. And so I've got a tent Bible reference. And so I started to look at tents in the Bible, which is, if you've ever done that, a pretty exciting journey. So I just want to share with you what I found this morning. Before I do that, let's pray. So pray along with me as we go here. Father God, we just love that you're here by your Holy Spirit this morning. I thank you for a word in season, not just for me, but for anyone here who's listening this morning. Father God, I pray that your word is useful in people's life and goes deep into people's lives today to refresh them and change the course of where they are headed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is what, so I found out. So I started off in like the kids' Bibles, right? Because that makes the most amount of sense to me. We know the Herald Sun is written for the average 8-year-old. So I kind of went for the simple stuff. So it says the Bible is filled with different references to tent life. And there was in the very beginning, the earliest reference to tents was from a man named Jabal, who was the father of such who dwell in tents. That's in Genesis. And then there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They lived most of their lives in tents in and around the world in the land of Canaan. That's in Hebrews. The Israelites lived in tents during their 40 years in the wilderness. And God wanted each person then to pitch their tent around the main tent, which was called the tabernacle. And if you don't know what a red herring is as well, by the way, if you ever watch any TV or shows, not you, Alex Herring, you're not a red herring. A red herring is where something that I mentioned at the start will come in at the end. So that is important for you to know. Just so you know, that's a red herring there today. So when we pitch our tent, how are we pitching around the main tent? All right, so if you're taking notes today, you can write that one down. Tents back then were made not like what our pop-up tents are made from today, which I think is neoprene or Gore-Tex or anything like that. No, they were made of goat skin mostly back then. And tents were big. Tents weren't like those little dome pop-ups that sometimes are easy to put up and sometimes difficult to put up, and they spring up at the times you expect them the least and the most. But they were massive structures. When I say massive, a tent would probably be about the size of our main auditorium here, and there'd be quite a few rooms in those tents. In fact, we hear of people in the early times, they could overhear conversations through the walls because most of the walls were just made of goat hair. So tents aren't what we imagine they used to be. Tents represent a place to dwell. Tents represent a place to live. And I've got some scripture here. I wonder if you've got your Bibles, if you'd like to take notes. I'm coming, our main verse today is from 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. And I've got 5 points today to make it really easy for you as well. I'm going to read this scripture to you. It says this, it says, "Our bodies are like tents that we live in here on earth. But when these tents are destroyed, we know that God will give each of us a place to live." I just want to pause on that really quickly. See, when I used to read this, I used to think that when I got to heaven, there was going to be this big palatial mansion. And maybe there is, I don't know. Maybe there'll be, you know, nice rooms with good furniture, better than, you know, Nick Scali or anything like that in there. But really, when I was praying about this, I know that God is talking about this tent. This tent here, your tent, your body, right? You probably already knew that. That was a revelation for me. "These homes will not be buildings that someone has made, but they are in heaven and they will last forever." How good is that? "While we're here on earth, we sigh because we want to live in that heavenly home. We want to put it on like clothes and not be naked." Meaning that our spirits all know that they need to go somewhere. Our spirits know that we're living in this body. our spirits know, right? So if we're a spirit, soul, and a body, our spirits know that they need to go somewhere. And sometimes when we feel frustrated in life, sometimes we feel like not enough is happening. Maybe God's not moving quick enough for us. Maybe the plans for our life aren't going the way we want it to do. That's where our spirit can sometimes get frustrated, right? And we can feel like, ooh, why can't this just happen? Why can't I just get there? But we'll unpack that a little today. Moving forward, these tents we now live in are like a heavy burden and we groan. But we don't do this just because we want to leave these bodies that will die. It's because we want to change them for bodies that will never die. God is the one who makes all of this possible. He's given us his spirit to make us certain that he'll do it. So always be cheerful. Can you guys just do that for me now? Always be cheerful. That's better. That was much better. That was really nice. Like at the corners of everyone's mouths went up. Just keep them there the whole time. That'd be great. As long as we're in these bodies, we're away from the Lord, but we live by faith, not by what we see. We should be cheerful. Okay, you did it again. That's great. We should be cheerful because we would rather leave these bodies and be at home with the Lord. But whether we're at home with the Lord or away from him, we still try our best to please him. After all, Christ will judge each of us for the good or the bad that we do living in these bodies. So I've got 5 points here today. We're going to unpack these as we go through. Number one, tents are temporary, but enough. Tents are temporary, but enough. Two, tents are designed to house the spirit, not stuff. Tents house the spirit, not stuff. Number three, tents can be stretched out for more space. You're not limited. Tents can be stretched out for more space. You're not limited. Number four, tents are vulnerable when pitched alone. No part B to that one. And number five, tents are a place of cheer. Try it again. Smile. That's it. Great. Thanks, Dale. So a tent is a temporary structure, but is enough. There's nothing, I think. Now, I don't know if we have any hardcore tent fans here. Is there anyone who lives the hashtag tent life? No one really. Good. So I'm not going to offend anybody this morning. That's good. I don't believe tents, and this is maybe a controversial statement, but I don't believe tents are overly spectacular. I know. A tent, though, if you've ever camped, a tent is rather vulnerable. I'm reminded of a time where Gaynor and I went camping. We are not campers. Have you met Gaynor? We're not campers. Gaynor's idea of camping has 5 stars, not one. We went camping. I can't remember why we went camping, Gaynor. For the love of Pete, I cannot imagine why we did it. But we put the kids in one tent. We're in another tent. And we are camping noobs. We are hopeless at it. Gaynor, I think, was working up on the northwest coast at that time. And we just, for some stupid reason, took tents. Anyway, she had the X-Trail. We packed the X-Trail up. We headed off. We pitched the tent. Gaynor went and did her job up the northwest coast, which I think was for Lion Dairy and Drinks back then. And she came back to us in the afternoon. We had the camp all set up. We had made some food. The kids were very little. Do you remember it, Jack and Jamie? The kids were very little. And in the middle of the night, after everything was said and done, and it was very, very dark, and it was raining, do you remember? It was raining so bad. We managed to get the tent up anyway. In the middle of the night, I was awoken to a mighty clutter. And I just thought it was, naturally, I thought it was Gaynor trying to get out of the tent, and we're in the dark, and she was still lying next to me, and I'm like, we're on the northwest coast of Tasmania. It could be anything. Or anyone. It could have been a morse. But in my novice camping state, I had left food in the tent. And the biggest wombat I have ever seen in my life was attempting to make its way in through the shoe hole in the tent. And so, you know, very, very calmly, I got up in my underpants in the rain. Sorry for all of you who are visual thinkers. And I freaked out. We got the food and we put the food in the... But what I realised at that stage is that our tent was not our house. Our tent was not the security that we're used to in our house. And it's the same with our bodies. You know, our bodies are so temporary and our bodies are so flimsy. And we experience that at times when we're feeling pain and sickness and illness or injury. And we're reminded from time to time that our bodies are very temporary, aren't we? Yeah. So why is it then that we pay so much attention to curating a very careful Facebook page or curating our Instagram lives with just the right filters or curating the carefulness of what we do and how we look and how we're perceived by people more than how we're perceived by God? If this is so temporary, I mean, confession, I got changed 3 times this morning to make sure I was wearing the right thing because I've got a 19-year-old daughter and she's happy to tell me when I'm wearing the wrong thing. And I appreciate that, Jamie. Thank you very much. So we do have to, at some level, we do have to care about how we look. Otherwise, I'd be here in a onesie because that's super comfy, right? So on some level, we've got to do that, but that's out of respect for one another. But why is it that we live our lives in these temporary bodies so keen on impressing other people and then so keen on not going to see the inner person in others as well? Why is it that we judge one another by our tent? Is it a symptom maybe of the kind of time we live in? Maybe it is. But I think as Christians this morning, I think we can just do a little better at that. You know, my encouragement for myself and for you all is to maybe not be looking at the flimsiness of people's tents, but to do what that wombat did and get a little bit curious about perhaps what's inside the tent. Yeah? And not just for the people who are here this morning, our congregation, but for the people who are yet to come to know Christ. It's so easy to walk past somebody who we look at their tent and we make a decision on what could be on the inside because of what we see on the outside. That wombat did not care. That wombat just went after what was on the inside of the tent. And perhaps we could do that with a bit more intent. That's not a good sermon without a pun, right? Check it out. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Matthew 12:34. Out of the overflow of your heart, speaking of which, the mouth speaks. So check what's in your heart before you check what's in the tent. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." Proverbs 21:2, "All deeds are right in the sight of the doer, but the Lord weighs the," just checking if you're paying attention, "the heart." Luke 6:45 says, "The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil, for it's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." So you want to check what's in our heart. Right? And if it's what's in our heart that's making us look at the outward appearance of other people, the first place the mouth speaks is where? It's in your necktop computer, in this 6 kilo weight that sits on your shoulders. So we're going to check our thoughts before we check our words, yeah? And it starts here. So maybe as we're moving into this next season, we've got 25 weeks left, maybe we can be less concerned with the appearance of our tent and more aware of what blows out of our tent when the wind picks up. Point two, a tent is designed to house the Spirit. Where will the Holy Spirit dwell in you if you are full of clutter? Have you made room for the Holy Spirit? Imagine a tent at nighttime, the modern tent or even an older tent, doesn't matter, and someone inside the tent turns on a flashlight or a torch. What do you see? You see the silhouettes. You know that? You know the movie Austin Powers when they're in the tent? And I don't want to go. Don't go there in your mind, all right? We're in church. But you know, you can see everything that's going on inside the tent. And you know what I think from having experienced this myself in my own life, that we sometimes become too afraid to let the light of the Holy Spirit dwell in our tent in case we're exposed. We might not want the light of the Holy Spirit to dwell within us in case it exposes the rubbish, in case it exposes the lies or the bad stuff or the what the Bible calls sin, our separation from God, or our past or our bad decisions or the things we've looked at, seen and heard. But I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid to let the Holy Spirit in. Maybe to do that, you might need to remove some of the clutter. And how do you do that? Well, we're in a church. Let's have a look around. There's people here that we can have conversations with. There's people here who we can, in a safe space, confess some of that stuff to. You saw a slide earlier for connect groups. There's a place for us to go. There's a place for us to be. And there's a place for us to do those things in a safe way. As we'll talk about in just a moment, I think what the enemy tries to do, he tries to get us camping all alone. He tries to make us pitch our tent by ourselves. You know, when you pitch a tent, it's a good place to go to a campground because there's other people around. And when you cry out for help or cry out, wombat, there's someone else there. But when we're pitching our tent all alone, I think the enemy makes us do that because he says, if you go and isolate yourself, you'll be safer. It's not true. I think we're designed to camp in groups. Bible teaches us to camp around the main tabernacle. Remember that red herring I told you about? We're going to keep coming back to that. We're going to make sure that we're pitching our tent around others who are also pitching their tent. A tent can be stretched out for more space. Isaiah 54:2 says this, and we've heard this preached here before through our Spacious Life series and more recently as well. I think this is a real word in season, and I want to encourage us all to be thinking about how we're stretching out our tents at the moment. It says this, enlarge the site of your tent. This is from the Amplified, by the way, to make room for more children. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare them. Lengthen your tent ropes and make your pegs or your stakes firm in the ground. For you'll spread out to the right and the left and your descendants will take possession. A tent does not limit you. But the size of your tent, if you look at it, your body, it doesn't limit you. Who knows, I'm going to look at the pronunciation here, Nick Vujicic, the dude with no arms and no legs. Right, we've seen he's got the little chicken wing. I was going to play a video, I was going to do all that sort of stuff, but you guys might know who he is. So imagine a man who's a little younger than me, born with no arms and no legs. At age 10, Nick wanted to kill himself because all of the kids at the school were so mean and they bullied him. You don't have to put your hands up, but I imagine that some of us have probably experienced bullying and on some level in our life. Because the enemy uses people to grind you down. The enemy uses other people in your life to pick apart things. And normally it's to do with your tent. Normally it's to do with your appearance. You're too small, you're too fat, your hair is this color, you don't have the right of this, you don't have the right of that. And normally it's to do with the outward appearance. And normally people who are bullied, and I've had quite a bit of experience in both being a bully and being bullied. I'm not proud of the first one. Definitely didn't like the second one either. But it was never about what was inside that person because we don't really know. We don't really know. We can't go to the secret place that God can go to. We don't really know what's in there. And you know those people who are bullied, and I know when I was bullied, there's that feeling of, but you don't really know me if you only knew me. And we've just got such a powerful God who can come into our tent and get to know us so personally. And if we invite him in, he gets to know us even more personally. And he strengthens us through dwelling with us. So you might have some ideas about how you even think about yourself and what you tell yourself. And there may even be one or two people here who sometimes bully themselves, limit themselves by the outer appearance. I'm going to go back to Gaynor's two-word coaching program again. Everyone remember it? Stop it. Tents are vulnerable, as I said before, when we pitch our tent alone. You know, I think this is a real trick of the enemy. This is a real trick of the enemy. In 2 Corinthians, our main verse we're reading from today, it says that at times our tents can feel like a burden. And I think especially at the moment with the political weight and things that are going on in Australia and overseas, and even just on social media, I don't want to bog down. Social media can be good as well as a real pain. But I think it can sometimes, as a Christian, as someone who's carrying the Holy Spirit, it can sometimes feel like it's a burden. I looked this morning on Facebook. I shouldn't have, but I did. I shouldn't have before I was preaching because I saw some stuff and it really annoyed me. And it was like a big protest outside Chick-fil-A in America because they've opened a new venue. And there's all these protests and all that sort of stuff. And I started to get really upset. I started to get really, not upset, but like just a little bit peed off, a little bit ticked off. Like, oh, don't they have anything better to do? And then I thought, you know, everything the enemy plans for bad, God turns to good. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But sometimes we make it matter. And we decide to go pitch our tent alone somewhere and we go off on our own crazy tent crusade where we go, well, it doesn't matter about pitching our tent around other Christians because the more I'm seen with other Christians, the more I can potentially be persecuted. If I'm seen hanging around other Christians, doing Christian stuff, going out and loving people, do you know, the world doesn't make sense at the moment. You know, the message that Jesus gave us was love, forgiveness, peace. And the world stands against us. What does that tell you about the world right now? You know, it doesn't make any sense to pitch your tent alone. It makes no sense to pitch your tent alone. What I would encourage us all to do at the moment is find people who are pitching their tent alone, go get them and say, come camp with me. I know a safe place. Come pitch your tent alongside my tent where we can open the flaps of our tent together and have a bigger tent. Don't be dissuaded by what you see because you're only seeing what's not real. Be encouraged to pitch your tents together. If the band wants to come and join me casually, that would be fantastic. In Hebrews 10:25, Paul encourages us to continue to meet together and not neglect it. Why? This was really an important point the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Why would we want to meet together? Let me tell you why. Because we're reminded when we meet together of good camping habits. We're reminded when we camp together of good camping habits. You know, I don't mind when you come to church, it's not up to me how often you come to church. But if you're here once every 3 weeks, your camping skills might dull. When you're here once every 4 weeks or whatever, you might forget that you're alongside some other people who are also in these tents doing this journey. And, you know, it might occur to you while you're off camping on your own, doing your own thing, and that's fine. And I don't want to make anyone feel like they're being picked on or whatever. I'm not talking to you. But when you're off doing your own thing, you might get into some of the habits of the world. And you know what? That's okay. That's kind of okay as well. Because when you come back, you're reminded, like you're super reminded sometimes of some of the habits that we have as Christians. And you get those, oh yeah, moments. And they're good too. So whatever you do, I'm not here to judge you. But I'm here to encourage you that the more often we come together, the more often we're encouraged to do what Christ intended us to do. As iron sharpens iron. As we do life together and move together and camp together. When I was preparing this message, I was thinking about the wagon trains of the old West. You know, they got it. They knew what it was like because they lived in a world where they could get stampeded by buffalo and they knew that there was unsafe things. But we know the fight's not in the flesh, but in the powers and principalities of a spiritual realm. Yet sometimes we forget to make the wagon circle. Sometimes we just put our tents out there alone and we go, I wonder why the coyotes came and ate my dinner or the wombat got into my tent. You know, it just makes sense for us to be continually reminded of this so that we don't accidentally have a hiccup in the brain and go and think that we can do it on our own. There's nothing, I don't think, overly intelligent about going out and doing that alone. If we saw someone camping in the middle of a dangerous place, if you saw someone pitching a tent in the middle of a median strip of the highway, what would you think? You don't have to shout your answer out, but I think it's fairly obvious. We might question that person's logic. And I just wonder whether sometimes we need to question our own logic as well. Last point. Tents. Remember, when I'm talking about tents, I'm talking about us, are a place of cheer. One of the things I've always wondered about this Christian life is why more people aren't walking around with a smile on their face so big that their head's nearly split in two. You know, as Christians, we carry the good. We carry the good. Yes. Do you know what I see sometimes with Christian people? This. I'm a Christian. Well, I don't want to be one of those. What does your tent represent? Does your tent represent a place of cheer? I am sometimes accused of being too happy. People often at my workplace, because I've got a job now. Thanks, God. It's great. But at my workplace, people, get this, have complained about me to the boss because I'm too happy. So am I to put on a tent? Am I to put on a cloak of the world? Or am I to put on a tent or a cloak that represents the kingdom of Jesus Christ so that I get accused of being a Christian? That's what I want to be accused of. When people say, why are you so happy? I want to say, do you really want to know? And when they say yes, I want to say, because the Holy Spirit dwells here. Because you're not even seeing me, you're seeing the light shining out from Christ. When I meet together with my brothers and sisters, our light shines onto one another and we illuminate one another. When we do church together and we're greeting people walking in from all different denominations believing in Jesus, we're not casting shadows on one another, we're shining a light onto one another. When Christian people are walking down the street together, we ain't casting shadows on people who don't love the Lord, we're shining the light into their life. Big smiles, so big your head should split in two. That's what I want to encourage us to be like. Because we live in a world where it's easy to get bogged down in rules. I went back to Numbers here. I've dug deep into Numbers. Who loves reading the book of Numbers? Hooah. Even though the journey is Numbers 153, even though the journey you've been on with your tent might not look Instagram worthy, this is an inspiration from here, by the way, might not look Instagram worthy, perfect. It's perfect in the eyes of a perfect God. Your tent is perfect. You're perfect. Right now, as you are, you're perfect. One of my favorite preachers preaches a message about striving. He says, as a sheep, we don't strive. Carl Lentz says, sheep don't strive. He's a good preacher if you haven't heard him. Sheep don't strive. Sheep, peaceful animals. Big, happy faces. Maybe your tent has been attacked by a strong wind. Maybe you got some stuff in your tent flapping in the breeze. Maybe that wind has brought some stuff out of your tent and into the open that you don't want other people to see. Maybe, maybe not. But whatever's going on right now in your life, whatever this tent of yours represents, one day it's going to be folded up. One day your tent, this temporary tent, it's going to be packed up. And what you've got living in that tent right now is going to go and dwell in a place with the Lord. So cool. But while it's here, what does your tent represent? And how can we be better intentioned to bring other people to camp alongside of us? Why don't we stand? Let's welcome the band back. And I just want to thank you for receiving this word this morning. Thank you, guys.